Northside Today. 90.3 Near FM with Bowie and China Girl. Now I'm joined here in the studio with Councillor Duncan Smith, Labour Party for Dublin Fingal constituency. He's going to be talking about his general election campaign. Good morning, Duncan, and thanks for taking the time to come into us today.
No problem, Johnny. Thank you for inviting me and having me on again so soon.
No, it's our pleasure. First of all, Duncan, Brendan Ryan TD, he decided not to contest the next general election, so you've been selected to run as Labour candidate in Dublin Fingal constituency. How does that feel for you?
It feels great. It's great to have the endorsement of Brendan. Obviously, Brendan was selected as a general election candidate for this election, but we had our by-election in Dublin Fingal in November, and I was the Labour candidate. And we had a very positive campaign. Whilst we didn't get the seat, we had a really good vote. We got 16% of the vote. So as an organisation, we had a chat over December, and Brendan had a think over Christmas, and he came back in the new year and felt that now was the time for him to retire and pass the torch over. Felt confident that I would be able to pick it up and hopefully hold the seat for Labour in Dublin Fingal.
Okay, and what are the major issues you're focusing on in the election campaign?
The major issues we're focusing on are issues such as childcare, transport infrastructure, housing, which is the root of everything. Johnny, we spoke about this before, and it's been spoken about a lot. But the health service is again a massive recurrent issue. But it's been an issue ever since I've been knocking on doors in this country. And we haven't. Your previous interviewee said the same thing. It's a nut. No government's been able to properly crack. Pensions are coming up a great deal on the doors, as you can imagine. So there's a whole myriad of issues. But underpinning it all is a general dissatisfaction, not just with the government, but with the political class. People feel let down, they feel disillusioned. There's still people saying they're not going to vote. You know, this would be the first general election where they didn't vote. So, you know, we have to try and overcome this and energise people to reinvest in politics. There has to be a candidate for somebody. Obviously, I hope there's enough candidates for me to get me elected. But we have to get people into the polling station and engage with politics, because I'm worried on the I am genuinely worried about what road we're going down here.
Yeah, okay. In your view, Duncan, what's number one priority for this country that needs immediate, urgent action?
Housing. Because I think if you can solve housing, make housing available, and make housing affordable, people will have security, they'll have a better quality of life, they'll have more money in their pockets because they won't be paying high rents or indeed high mortgages, which means they'll be able to invest in their own families, invest in their own childcare needs, be able to invest in their own economies, and it's that lack of security over housing, be it renting or being able to purchase, that is causing such disharmony at the moment throughout the country, but particularly in Dublin Fingal. We're feeling it quite acutely. We're a very young, the youngest constituency in the state. High number of young people, both single and young families, wanting to purchase or wanting just long-term rents. The people of my generation who, yeah, a lot of people want to buy, but there's people, they just want the security. They'll rent if it's affordable and they have security over a long period of time. It's just not having that security that's driving people really over the edge on this.
Okay, and what's your view in relation to the need of, you know, more social housing as against private housing?
Look, there's three pillars which is what we need. We need public housing, and public housing should comprise of traditional social housing, let's call it that, and an affordable housing scheme. And that is the big missing piece. That's what should have been brought in 4 or 5 years ago when the economy turned around. We had it previously in the 90s and 2000s. A lot of people in the north side of Dublin, in this area, in my area, availed of affordable housing schemes. They were brilliant for getting young working people, either single or in couples, on getting them secure homes, which they're still in today. That's the piece that needs to come in. And then the private market can look after itself. What we have at the moment, Johnny, as you know, is we have a very, very small amount of local authority housing being built, traditional social housing, and the private market. And the private market is dictating everything. And we're seeing a lot of estates now being built in Fingal, whereby planning permission is being given for a few hundred houses. They're being built slowly in phases, where the first phase will be at such a price, the next phase will come in €30,000 dearer, the third phase will come in dearer again. So the developers are able to, by parceling out and staging their development, they're able to increase their own price. It's incredible. It's not getting enough attention. So this is why I'm in the Labour Party. This is why I'm on the left. This, on issues as critical such as housing, we need the state to play an active and continued role. And it can't just be a case of getting us back and solving the crisis and then giving it back to the market again. It's continued. It has to be in the fabric of our country that the state provides housing and public affordable housing.
All right. Agree that our outgoing government failed miserably in terms of housing, rent costs, and also our homelessness crisis.
Yes. Look, that's beyond there. Look, I'm in the business of running positive campaigns, focused on my own campaign, but there's no doubt that this government have failed. They have. When we were in government in 2011, 2016, obviously it was a different time and there was an awful lot of economic stress. But in the last year and a half of that government, when money started to come in, we could see, in Fingal at least, money was given to provide for traditional social housing, and we had a lot of social housing estates begin to be built. Once we left and Fine Gael were in there with their independence, that stopped. So when you have the government representatives on media and they're talking about housing delivery and units of housing, they're talking about the housing assistance payment, which is for private landlords through the private rental market, and that's a state subsidy for that payment. That's not long-term housing delivery. It's better than rent allowance. I will say that, because it allows people to work and make sure they're not caught in a poverty trap, but it's not nowhere near a long-term housing solution. So yes, they failed miserably. Homeless figures have only gone up. They haven't come down, they haven't stabilised, and they continue to go up. So look, this has been the worst indictment of this government, is their record on housing.
All right. Would you agree that there's a strong need to freeze rents, perhaps even find a way to reduce rents, if possible, and also enforce a complete, you know, revision of the HAP scheme limits?
Just to take them in phases. We introduced two rent freezes when we were in government with Fine Gael, against massive resistance with Fine Gael. Alan Kelly brought it in, and it worked to freeze rents for a short period. Now, obviously, we're out of government, and there's been no rent freeze since. We've the rent pressure zones, but there's lots of loopholes in that landlords can get out of. So the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have not agreed to rent freeze because they say it's unconstitutional. Our legal advice is it's not unconstitutional as long as it's time limited. So our policy is that we would implement a 3-year rent freeze straight away. That would serve to cap rents. What we'd have to do then, we'd have to raise the HAP limits as well, just also to ensure that people on HAP would be able to meet rents. But it's in the supply, Johnny, that will bring the rents down. If we have an affordable housing scheme, if we have a cost rental model as well, whereby if people are paying rent but unable to afford a deposit, what a cost rental does is the money you're paying to your rent goes towards a deposit in the eyes of the bank. So if we can increase supply, get people out of the rental market like that, and who want to purchase their home but can't afford a deposit, that will bring rents down, because rents are supply and demand led. So if we can increase the supply, those rent figures will go down.
All right, okay. What's your views, Duncan, on our current HSE crisis, and how should it be dealt with?
Look, we could have a whole show about the HSE crisis. We could talk two hours about it. It's in such disarray. But it's a disarray in certain elements. Like, there's the A&E trolley crisis, which this time of year is especially acute. There is investment coming in Beaumont Hospital, and that's welcome. But we need to invest more in hospital beds. One thing we need to do is we need to end the recruitment embargo. I mean, it's incredible that still exists. There's too much money being paid on agency staff, and if those staff need to be, you know, work, etc. But, you know, we need to be encouraging nursing staff, particular, out of agencies and into our hospitals and our health service on good terms and conditions, and have them as permanent staff. That is really, really important. What we really need.
Why is this happening?
Why is this happening?
Yeah.
This is a political choice by this government. You know, they're unable to deal with unions across any sector. One thing about the last government was, at least through Brendan Howland, at least unions were dealt with. So you need to be able to deal with the INMO. Like, we've seen the INMO out on strike in the last year. We've seen SIPTU health workers out on strike in the last year. So we need to deal with the main unions to get workers taken care of. They feel they've been left behind in the health service. They feel they are at the front line. They have the toughest jobs in the state, and they've just been ignored by this government. So, but one thing, a point I think is never made and needs to be made, we brought in primary care centres, and the vision for primary care centres as we had it in the Labour Party was that if you had a minor injury, if you fell going down the stairs leaving here today and you sprained your arm, you should go to your local primary care centre, you get your x-ray, you get strapped up, and you wouldn't have to darken the door of Beaumont A&E. That hasn't happened. When we left, what primary care centres became, where they were built, was they became new buildings for existing services. So the community mental health services weren't delivered. The x-ray services weren't delivered. The occupational therapy, all these things weren't delivered. Aftercare for people with acquired brain injuries, they weren't delivered. So your primary care centre should be the first stop for people who have minor injuries and keep them out of A&Es. That would ease the trolley crisis. It would ease the pressure on our acute hospitals. And again, that's an ideological decision by Fine Gael to not invest in community care and not invest in primary care centres. So that's something that needs more focused attention. I think that would be something that could really help revolutionise the health service if they became proper primary care centres as envisioned.
Yeah, but would you not agree, though, apart from the lack of beds issue, the main issue here lies within the HSC in terms of bad organisation and bureaucracy, perhaps?
Look, I hear that a lot. And I'm going to be honest, maybe it's because the structure of the organisation is so large, I wouldn't be able to say hand on heart that it's purely a bureaucratic issue. You know, I mean, surely an organisation that size, maybe there are learnings that can be made for it to work better, work more efficiently. But I also think it's a very easy trope for politicians to throw out to say, oh, if we get rid of all management, if we get rid of this, I actually would need to see where exactly the so-called waste is in HC before I would start throwing stones in that direction. What I want to see is investment in it, investment in our frontline services. Like we've all had experiences, John, I'm sure you're the same, anyone who's lived in the north side of Dublin, we've all had our Beaumont Hospital stories. And the bad stories are the A&E. Once you get in behind A&E and you get into the ward, the level of care is absolutely fantastic.
That's very true.
Yeah, we need to be careful when we're talking about all levels of the HSE because there are people doing great work in there, but they need support and they need help and they need investment. And where we have theatres that aren't being used, where we have wards that aren't being used, we need teams to go in and say, how can we get them staffed? How can we get sick people into them as quickly as possible to cure them and send them home? Because that's what it's all about.
Okay. Just to say, change the subject slightly, what's your opinion on last night's debate? Not the debate itself, but the fact that there were only two.
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest.
No more candidates invited in.
I didn't watch it. I came home after it was a very positive canvas. And I said, I'm not in the humour of seeing these two lads, pretend they're in opposition with each other. In 2011, when Labour were riding high in the polls, Eamon Gilmore was on the RT leadership debate. I know it was Virgin Media last night, but it was a three-person debate. And there's calls this time for Mary Lou McDonald, and I support those calls. I think it's important for the vibrancy of our democracy. I mean, I may have my own issues with Sinn Féin. I'm not a member of that party, and people would expect me to have issues with Sinn Féin. But if it was good enough for us in 2011, then it should be good enough for Sinn Féin in 2020, particularly where they are in the most recent opinion polls. And, you know, I mentioned I have my concerns with Sinn Féin. You know, if we continue over the next decade to treat them as pariahs in Irish politics down in the Republic of Ireland, that's not going to be healthy for our democracy. That's not going to be healthy for Ireland. And, you know, if people keep voting for Sinn Féin, everyone else who's voted and who gets endorsements from people need to talk to them and deal with them in some fashion. And, you know, I think a good start would be including Mary Lou in the debate.
All right. Tell us, Duncan, about Labour Party's #Stop67 campaign in relation to pension age.
OK, well, the #Stop67 campaign is actually a SIP2 campaign, which we support. But we were actually first out on this in the middle of last summer. Jed Nash and Aon O'Riordan, who is running in Dublin Bay North, spoke about this first, saying, look, we're in a position now where we need to reassess where we're going with our pension strategy. It's due to go up to 67. They said back last summer that we should be kept at 66. We have enough money in the social insurance fund to be able to afford that. Brendan Howland then in our Labour Party conference in November stated that as Labour Party policy. So we've been clear before the election, well before the election, that this was our policy. I'm delighted it's an election issue now because it deserves to be. We need a rational debate about it. I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael again are hand-wringing over it. They're sitting on the fence. They're seeing what way it's going to go. But we've been clear before, during, and we'll be clear after if we find ourselves in some arrangement either in government or supporting a government from the outside. The pension age of 66 would be a red line for us.
Okay, what's your opinion on bringing it down to 65? Sinn Féin are pushing for that.
Yeah, this is where we need to be careful. This is where you get into the kind of auction politics. It's obviously we've done our sums on this. Like, I think to bring it down to 65 would then cost, I don't know the figure, it's something in a couple of hundred of millions, right? I don't have the figure to hand. So, you know, this is where we need to be careful. We can't get into auction politics. We can't commit to stuff that we can't actually afford. We've costed this. If we keep it at 66, we can afford it from the existing social insurance fund. But also, it opens up the wider pensions debate. There's legacy pension inequalities there, particularly for women, particularly obviously old women, women who were forced to leave the work due to the marriage bar, women who stayed at home to have children and raise their children, as was more common back in the day, who are excluded from pensions, have no rights over pensions. Now, we started the work on the home care pension credit, and in fairness, Regina Doherty brought that in, so credit there. But there's more work to be done there. There's women who still feel that they've been totally left behind, and that their contribution to society has been undervalued or devalued or ignored. So there is a wider pensions debate here that needs to be had. So yes, let's keep it at 66, but let's keep it open and have the debate and see how are we treating our older people, and can we treat them better? And I think we can.
All right, okay. On a totally different note, and I know it's past history, but maybe not, if the present government gets back in, they say it's got to be postponed. What's your personal opinion, Duncan, on holding a ceremony to commemorate IRC and DMP?
Oh, no, I think it was a totally unnecessary commemoration to have put in a diary. In the future, do you rule it out? No, but we're not ready there. And I had a gut reaction, said, no, why are we doing this? And what I compare it to was, we did a very good job in this country over the last decade of, re-examining our history in relation to Irish people who went to fight in World War One. You know, because for years, people that fought in World War One, and there's people on my side of the family who did, people on my side of the family who fought in the rising of the War of Independence, like many of us. They'd have been ostracised from society when they came back from the war, and they'd be seen as West Brits or whatever it was. But through debates, through documentaries, through academic research, through articles, through all this, through shows like this, over the course of years, we realised that a lot of people, particularly from Dublin, went to fight in World War One because of for economic reasons, for class reasons, and it became part of our complex history. Now, the RIC is part of our complex history, and that, but it's way more complex than World War One veterans. But we need to go through a process of understanding and learning, and then decide if we want. And when we get to that, maybe we're like, no, we don't need a state commemoration for that. You know, or maybe we feel we will, but we're a few years away from that. And I think what happened was unnecessary. I think it was poorly planned, and it was an example of this government, a bit of arrogance, a bit of detachment, and kind of just running out of energy.
A bit of lack of thought, perhaps.
Total lack of thought.
Yeah,
you have to be careful about. This decade of commemoration, if I could just finish, is very delicate, and we've generally been doing it quite well. The centenary celebrations for the Rising were fantastically done, excellently done, across all parties and none. We really hit the nail on the head there. Now we're going through a very sensitive period. We're going to come up to the Civil War period, which we're going to be commemorating as well. So there are massive sensitivities here. So this was an absolute blunder of the highest order by this government, and it never would have happened, I think, if any other party had been in, not just ourselves, but I think Fine Gael, Charlie Flanagan, massive blunder here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, actually, to be honest. Mm. So Duncan, just before we wrap it up, tell us, why should the public vote for you above any other candidate?
Okay, well, look, I'm going out to try and earn the vote of the people, like I did in the by-election recently, where I got a good vote. I believe what we need in this party is a good, solid party of the left that's going to be solutions driven, and for me the Labour Party should be that party. I believe it has been in the past. We've taken our hits, but people are listening to us again. We've had good local election results, good by-election results, and we need strong people who are going to push for services in the Dáil. I'm 36 years of age. I've good experience on the council. I've developed a reputation for being holding the council management to account, for investing in public services, making tough decisions, standing over them and being accountable to the people. We need more of that in the Dáil. I feel I have a good contribution to make. I feel I could provide an alternative voice to the centre-right parties that are going to be in there. I think I have a broader policy approach than, let's say, the Green Party, who are riding high as well. So I think out of the five seats, I think if one went to Labour in Fingal, I think it would benefit the constituency and hopefully the wider region, because we're all interconnected here. Anything stuff that happens in Coolock, we spoke about Beaumont Hospital, that's my local hospital, even though it's in a different constituency. So we all need to work together on that. And I believe I give value for people's vote, and they certainly could trust me as their TD.
Excellent. Right, so we're going to have to leave it at that, Duncan. Time has caught up with us, and thanks again for coming in to us. Good luck in the general election from all of us here at Near FM, and all the very best to you. Take care.
Thanks, Johnny. I look forward to being back sometime. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Councillor Duncan Smith, Labour Party, Dublin's Fingal, I beg your pardon, talking about his general election campaign.